Thank you. I was just looking for that. Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope it is well with your soul. Can I see you a little better? Thank you. I am glad to be with you this evening. It's my privilege to be here. If we've not met before, my name is Steve. I am the pastor at the Wesleyan Church here in Klamath Falls, and also the chaplain here at the Gospel Mission. I'm also a friend of your pastor. Count him as a good friend. We have been prayer partners for I don't know how long. As long as he has been pastoring, I think. That's how long we have been prayer partners. We have a good local pastors association here in Klamath Falls, and we get together, if you didn't know, every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. for prayer. And it has been a privilege for me and a joy to be a part of that, and I'm glad that Pastor John has been as well. And as part of that work, several of the other churches in our community have been for some time bearing your burdens, bearing one another's burdens, as the scripture commands us to do. And that is, honestly, I have been here in Klamath Falls pastoring for 17 and a half years now, and I think that pastor's prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings is the reason why. It is such a privilege to get together with others, with other believers in prayer. All right, I wanted to share with you this evening, from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And it'll be my privilege to share with you this evening and then for the next 2 weeks as well. So I thought I would do a three-part series on the most important thing, okay? And I don't know that I have anything extraordinary to say. I don't know that I have anything new. If you are a Christian, you ought to know this. But I trust that there is value in ruminating and chewing over things that we already know and coming back to the basics. And just a good reminder this morning, the most important thing, beginning 1 John chapter 4, beginning down in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'm going to stop there, because there is so much more. But first of all, just a reminder of the background here. This letter is written to us several decades after Jesus' death and resurrection, by John the Apostle, okay, John the Beloved, whom the scripture refers to as the disciple whom Jesus loved, okay? So there's a connection here, and it's a little bit circular, okay? But circular reasoning works precisely because circular reasoning works. Okay, that's a joke. But at least here it works, okay? John is the one whom Jesus loved. And that's not that Jesus doesn't love everybody. He loves all of us. And as God, God loves every one of us perfectly, okay? The love of God in Christ for each and every one of us is perfect. And every one of us was on his mind when he is on the cross. He loves every one of us with his whole heart and soul and mind and strength. Does that sound familiar? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But you know that commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the question occurs to me then, how does God love? Or how does Jesus love? It is appropriate for Jesus to love. It is appropriate for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to love one another with their whole heart and soul and mind and strength, because he's God. And that's how it is appropriate to love God. And then we are given the next commandment, which is equally as important, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if Jesus is to fulfill this command, how does he love himself? How does he love God? With his whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And so how does he love his neighbor? In the same way that he loves his Father. For us, that's not entirely appropriate. For us, it is appropriate that I should love God more than I love anyone else. Right? With absolutely everything that I have and everything that I am able. And I'm not supposed to love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Right? Because you're not God. I'm not even supposed to love me with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, because I'm not God. But the closer I get to God and the more healthy I love myself, the more I am required, obligated to love my neighbor. I'm getting off track. How'd we get there? Oh, yeah. Jesus is God. You got that much, right? And he loves each one of us perfectly, but Jesus is also fully human. And the God part of Jesus loves everyone perfectly, but the human Jesus, he's like us in so many ways. And there are some people that we just click. There are some people that just rub us the wrong way. And there are some people that we meet and there is just that indefinable whatever it is that draws two human beings together and says, this person is a friend that you can trust your whole heart with. It is such a blessing to have a true friend in this world. Amen. And a lot of people these days struggle with that. A lot of people are going around with, you know, loneliness. A lot of acquaintances, a lot of people that know me, but is there one who is really a true friend? Jesus found one that in his humanity fulfilled that need for the love of a true friend, and that's John. So if God is love, and if Jesus is God, and if John is the one whom Jesus loves, then John knows something about love. Right? Which brings me back full circle to John telling us, beloved, let us love one another. I think if you take the entire Gospel of John, the entire, all of John's works, all of his writing, and distill it down, what is it? It is this concept of love. You might say just off the top of your head, John 3:16. Can't argue with that. What's that about? Love. Or I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. What's that about? Love. John emphasizes to us the one thing that is most important. Beloved, let us never forget this obligation. Beloved, let us exhort, let me exhort you, that we must love one another. Why? Because love is of God. Love has its root in God. Paul got that much back in 1 Corinthians 13, that whole chapter about love, where he sums that up saying, these three things remain. These three things endure. This is after we are told that all of heaven and earth will pass away. But this will never pass away. Do you know why? Because love is not earthly. Love is not even heavenly in the sense of a creation as heaven is. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. What does not? God himself is eternal. And love endures because it is rooted in the heart of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Think about that for a moment. Everybody talks about love. I mean, everybody uses the word. Everybody has something and someone that they will say they love. And to a degree, they're sincere and they mean it. But you know how that worldly love is, right? We may say that we love our neighbor. Sometimes we got problems with our neighbors. We may say that we love our husband or wife. And we've all seen the tragic circumstance when that love comes to an end. Everybody talks about love. And we're very muddled in our thinking about it. Because I love my wife and I love my children. I also love my truck. I do. I love my dog. I love pizza. Right? You see where we get off track. Because there is just so much worldliness that is wrapped up in those. And what John is telling us here is so much more than that. It's so much more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. And it's so much more than just a passing or a temporal commitment. It's more than just an affection. It is a choice to direct our heart in this towards someone in this direction until it becomes our nature, that from deep within we care and we give and we want to be there, and being present is more important than any of the other trappings. Okay? And giving gifts is a good thing. And talking about it is a good thing. And giving encouragement is a good thing. And all of these are expressions of love. But even if it is just in silence, even if it is just in poverty, even when for better turns to for worse, love still remains. Beloved, let us commit ourselves. Because this kind of love is of God. You know what that means? Every human being on earth has a capacity for it. Every human being on earth has a desire for it because we are all created in God's image. We are created specifically for the purpose of love. By the way, that statement brings us dangerously close to going off on a tangent. It's another sermon entirely. Let's go there anyway. I'll sum it up briefly. Once I asked myself, why did God create us? Right? Why does God want to know us and love us? Why is he willing to pay the price? And the answer obviously is love. And love is rooted in the nature of God, as I said before. But why? And I find some insight in how God has revealed himself to us. God the Father reveals himself as a father. And so it makes sense to me that the Father wanted to have children. Now the Father had the Son from all eternity. Jesus is eternally begotten, okay? The Father had the Son, but he wanted a bigger family. And that is not so strange to us because I had a son, and we didn't stop there. It may seem a little bit overboard to think that God wanted that joy billions of times over. But the Father wanted children. Oh, now I'm on a roll, because he has revealed himself as the Father and the Son, and the Son has revealed himself as the groom. Now it becomes obvious. Why would God create us? Because the Son wants a bride. The groom wants a bride. And this gives us an idea of what we're to be about, what love means. We are to be children of the Father. But just as, okay, take a look around. Okay. Many of you are old enough, as I am, to have children who are grown up now, which is a really great thing. Because now you can talk to them. Potentially. Not that they ever call, but at least there are times when you can get together, you know? When you're raising them, you gotta parent them, okay? But when they get to be mature and I don't have to be turning him over my knee anymore, now we can have a relationship. That's what the Father wants, is a relationship with grown, adult, mature children. And in the same way, the Son wants a relationship with a bride, someone who is as alien to him as men are from women, but also created out of his own flesh and blood, right? Just as Eve was created out of Adam's rib, okay? The church is created out of Jesus' flesh and blood to be his partner, for him to have and to hold, for better or worse, for the rest of his life. See, that gives us some insight into love there. And then, because I am a preacher and I like things in threes, and because I am also a joker and cannot resist, I had to add, the Father wanted children, the Son wanted a bride, and the Spirit wanted a body. Which makes sense if you're one of those that watches horror movies, okay? That's how those things go. No, I am not. I do not. But you know what? It makes sense when you think about the nature of love. How do we demonstrate love? If you've ever read the book on the five love languages, or any of the million and two sequels to it, the five love languages for women and for children and for men and for husbands and for doctors and for, you know, military version. There's all kinds of sequels to it. It all boils down to the same thing. How do we demonstrate love? Words of affirmation. God can do that for himself, right? The Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," right? Meaningful conversation or time together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had all eternity before they created the world that they could talk to one another and demonstrate love that way. But then there's giving gifts and physical touch and acts of service. And you cannot do those things if you don't have a body. How could the Father perform an act of service for the Son? He could not until the Son had need. How could he give a gift? How could the Spirit give a gift to the Father or to the Son? He could not until there was a lack. And so Jesus comes in human form the way that we are, and suddenly God has created the means for himself to love himself more perfectly than ever before, more fully. That's not quite right. Not that he loved himself more perfectly, but he at least has more opportunity to demonstrate it and to live it out. And that's why Jesus says things like, if you love me, prove it by loving that guy. Right? Because God doesn't need a gift. You got a box full of gifts back here that God has no need for. But there are young, desperate women at the Hope Center that have need of that gift. And God says, you want to demonstrate your love for me? Give that gift to them. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This capacity is not innate in us. This is not human nature to love one another. It is human nature to love ourselves and to draw circles with me at the center circle. Got to look out for number one, right? That's human nature. That's the way the world teaches us. And then we draw circles. There are those close to me. Okay? And if I am a worldly person, but respectable and healthy as a worldly person, my wife is going to be in that inner circle, or that first layer after me, right? Still looking out for number one, but she's pretty close in there. And then my kids as well, right? And if I am a quote-unquote good person, then my friends might be in there, and my job might be in there, and my church might be in there. And I can be very respectable, and still, it's all about me. Maybe you've seen, as I have, people that there is no doubt that that the person on the throne in that life is that person himself or herself. And as long as you're in one of those circles close in, you get the benefit of that selfishness. Because a worldly person who likes you will be selfish on your behalf. Right? We've seen this when our kids were in sports. And the coach was a worldly person, but would go and argue in a very worldly way on behalf of my kids because they're in the inner circle. That makes sense? But then you fall out of the inner circle and it turns aside. That's the way the world works. That's not the way God works. God says, move yourself off the throne and put me on the throne in the center, and then put everyone around you in that next circle. Yourself as well. You ought to love yourself well. Because God is on the throne, not you. And then you are able to love others well as well. Did that make sense? All right. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. That statement right there. That statement right there is half the foundation of everything else here. Now, if you're asking yourself, what's the other half? Thank you, that's a very long message. We'll save it for next week. God is love. Not just God does love, okay? I mean, because that's true and that's important, but that's not the extent of it. Not just God is loving, okay? Love is not just something that he does, and it's not just something that he is like. At his very heart, love is what he is. Why would he take my troubles on himself? Because the very nature and character of God is that's who he is. He is love. Now, why should I care when someone around me is hurting or in need? Because that's the nature of God. And if the nature of God has gotten into me at all, it is going to begin making that change. In this is love. In this the love of God was manifested or made plain. It's made known to us. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. Okay? Going and making the first move. Two huge aspects of God's love. I hear this all the time. And when I do, it always breaks my heart a little bit. Okay? If you treat me well, I will treat you well. If you show me respect, I will respect you. But if you want my respect, you've got to earn it. Oh, man. Breaks my heart. If you want my love, you've got to earn it. It should not surprise us that that's the way the world is. Okay? But beloved, I hope you aren't fooled by that. I hope you know better. That love goes first. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, we read this morning in the Gospel of Luke that God is kind to those who are ungrateful. God loves those not only who have not yet accepted him, but he demonstrates his love to those who never will accept him. Because love is not based on the other person and how much they deserve it. Love is based in the character and nature in the very heart of God. Verse 11 wraps it up. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He goes on, I'm not going to preach the next paragraph, but he goes on, no one has seen God at any time. No one has ever laid eyes on God. Interesting, because earlier in this very same book, he said, we're talking about what we have seen with our own eyes and heard with our own ears and touched with our own hands. He's talking about Jesus, the love of God, the spiritual and the abstract made flesh. Okay? Something that we can see and touch and feel right here in our presence. Later on, we'll talk more about the incarnation from John's gospel, where the image of God, the unknowable, comes so that we can know him. He comes to reveal himself. The implication here, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, that's how God makes himself known. If we love one another, that's how God makes himself known today. Jesus said that in, where is it? In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, right at the end. Chapter 13. Here is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In a world that is so confused that love is merely a feeling, that it is based on hormones, or it is based in your stomach, or it is based on what makes you feel good, that world has no clue that real love even exists. That statement brings to mind one person in particular, a young lady who was part of my youth group about 10 years ago. And now she is a young single mom doing her best to raise a couple of girls. And she is hurt and broken and often angry, and often the bitterness just overflows. And really, for me, is the face of a world that does not even believe that real love exists. Because all they've ever seen is counterfeit. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another in the same way. And then what? Here's how the world will know. Here's how the world is convinced that there is a God at all. That God loves the lost. If you demonstrate it, if you love one another, it shouldn't be a surprise that it's impossible to find that in the world. Because a world that is separated from God is separated from love itself. Barely recognizes it when it happens. But if you love one another, this is how the world will know. As I said, this is the most important thing and the foundation of everything else. If we simply live out the love of God, will you stand with me? We'll close in prayer together. Lord, in these few moments and with so few words, we could not fully comprehend the depths of the mystery of the love of God. In fact, there is enough there to keep us wondering and praising for all of eternity. But each one of us has experienced your perfect love in ways beyond anything we could describe. Each one of us is here, Lord, because we have responded to your love. And I pray, oh, I pray, let it go deep within us, Lord. Don't let it just sit on the surface. Don't let it just in one ear and out the other. Lord, don't let it just be a game that we play or something that we give lip service. But let your love flood us, our hearts and our minds, and go deep and take root within us. That it grows up in us and bears much fruit. Lord, that everyone around us, this world that despairs that such a thing as love even exists at all might see the proof in what you have done through your church, what you have done for your bride. Lord, will you reveal yourself as you once did in Christ in the incarnation? Will you reveal yourself through your church, through the body of Christ? We pray these things in his name. Amen.